All right, this is Sarah Motley, and I've got Alvin Reeves rejoining me. So I'm just catching up with them, trying to see what's going on. So what's been going on with you, Alvin? All right, speak up a little bit. You said your inner problems that you have to correct?
Yes.
And what's that? What does Alvin need to work on?
The inner problem that I constantly face is I battle with my lower self because I'm always, well, not always, but sometimes I resort back to my old way of thinking. Not in it. It's more so like if somebody do something and my old self battle with who I really am and say, oh, you Alvin, you don't take that from nobody. You don't allow nobody to talk to you. Allow that person to do this to you. So you gotta check that. So it's a constant battle that I'm dealing with because I can't allow nobody to say anything to me without me checking it, and that's my biggest problem.
So you think you have a problem with authority, or you think you have a problem with disrespect, or a little of both? Baby, speak up a little bit for me, honey, because it's gonna sound muffled. Go ahead. Wow.
Listen to the way that a person word, whatever they saying, and people in here has a tendency of trying to throw slick stuff in there to get over or to make it seem like they're bigger than what they is.
Can I tell you how much I appreciate you understand what I'm saying, like your honesty, and you understand what I'm saying, and that's why I think it's so important to do these, because I'm not looking for cute interviews. You understand what I'm saying? I want to know just exactly what you're saying. You understand what I'm saying? Because you guys, we all are human. You understand what I'm saying? So I appreciate that. You know what I mean? That you can be honest. But so give us a little background. And you, when you were talking about the environment that you came from and whatnot. Baby, please speak up a little bit because I don't want them to miss this.
All right. I've been incarcerated for 16 years.
Uh-huh.
And most of my incarceration has been around lifeless and death row. So if you're in an environment where hostile people getting murdered, well, the average person gonna fold or they gonna roll with their environment. Mm-hmm. So you're not gonna allow yourself to be anybody's victim. So your whole thought process is, I'm gonna murder you before you murder me.
Wow. So I didn't know that you guys had death row. So you guys are around people in there that are on death row?
No, that's when I was in North Branch and in Supermax.
Wow. So you saw people that was on death row?
Yes, ma'am. I spent 8 years in North Branch.
How is that? I hear that's rough. How's that?
North Branch is a different environment. Because when we first went up there in 07, it was 24 hours locked down.
Wow.
And then it was constant war with the police because they were against us the things that we need because the media already has labeled us as the worst of the worst. So going up there, the whole objective of the correctional office at that institution was to bring us. And our whole objective was to show them that we've been and we're not gone for anything.
Now, were you from that shipment that came from the cut when it got cut, when it got shut down, when the, I believe one of the COs got murdered down there?
I didn't come from the cut. I came from the annex. I stayed at the police.
Explain a little bit about that. Tell us about that. And when he's saying police guys, he's talking about the guard, the COs in there. Yeah, go ahead. So could you tell us what happened with that?
I got put out of ECI.
Uh-huh.
Fight the police. And they asked me where I want to go at. So I say GCI. which is what JCI now was Annex back then.
Uh-huh.
So when I went to the Annex, the mentality of the police was I was a young punk that come from the system saying I was tough. So I was on lockup for already fighting the police. And one day the police, he jacked me up in handcuffs, and I'm like, man, if you want to be a man about it, just take the handcuffs off, we can fight.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I don't believe in that. You just put your hands on me, and that's what it is. Fast forward, I came out to work because I was still on lockup.
Mm-hmm.
And the police that put his hands on me while I was in handcuffs was out there. It was breakfast time. I ended up stabbing him like 20-some times.
Mm.
I went to Supermax. Mm-hmm. And that's how I ended up at Northbridge, because they were shutting Supermax down, so they shipped all of us up Northbridge.
So how much more time did you get for stabbing the police officer up? Okay, so you originally went in for
15 years.
Okay. And so once you finish your 15-year sentence, you have to start on your 12-year sentence?
No, my 15-year sentence is done.
Wow.
18 months for the assault on the police of DCI. And then I caught the temper in JCI.
Wow. Now, is that a parolable sentence, or you got to do it straight?
Parole informed me that regardless of everything that I have accomplished and I have been out of trouble for a certain amount of years, they say I'm a violent person. That's who I am. That's who I'm always going to be. And they don't feel like it will. They say their exact words was, I'm a threat to society and to the institution.
I'm sorry. My dog is trying to interview you, too. So let me ask you, how does that make you feel, for them to label you a threat to society? And do you think that there's any truth to it? Considering, you know, what you just said, because you're concerned yourself with that. You understand what I'm saying? So, I mean, how does it feel to hear that people don't believe in your capacity to change? And then the second part of the question is, you know what I mean? Like you know that this is an area that you need improving on. So do you feel like maybe there's some truth to it? You or can you see their concern? Is what I'll ask.
I'm gonna answer both of your questions.
Okay, baby.
I'm always gonna be honest and I'm always gonna be upfront.
I love it. Go ahead.
And when the statistics say when a person comes to prison at the age of under the age of 18, within their first 5 years they gonna mess up.
Mm-hmm.
I fit that category to a T, and I'm not justifying anything that I've done and trying to make it seem that I was right in my actions.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's other avenues that I could have took instead of the avenues that I went in.
Mm-hmm.
But the environment I come from and then the environment that I was placed in, that's all that was around me was violence. That's all that I feel that I hear at that time was violence. So
take me to that environment, Alvin. Not I'm talking about prior to coming to prison. What did you see? What have you experienced?
Shootings, stabbings, drugs dealing. I grew up in a household with nothing but violence. That's all my mother and my father taught us. Like, you don't back down from nobody. Like, you ain't nobody being the biggest word.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody chump. You don't run for nobody. Like, if you can't beat him, you better pick something up and you better. So, if that was constantly bred into me.
Absolutely.
If you take a child and you instill certain things into that child,
yes.
It's really deep into their soul where that's what they live and they breathe on. Like, my understanding of love as a child was pain, because wow, that's what I seen. So it didn't take me to understand what real love was until I actually had time. I had spent 3.5 years on lockup, and I had to battle with myself. So I had to get a better understanding of me, so I can have a better understanding of life as a whole.
Speaking of 3 years on lockup, you know, because they're talking about the solitary confinement and stuff. What did you do? What is it like to be locked in with yourself for 3 years?
If you're not strong, you're going to go crazy.
Oh.
It's a constant battle because, like I said at the beginning of the interview, it's a battle with who you is and who you're trying to be. Because the images that we create, like my name was Country before I came to prison. When I came to prison, I was still functioning like Country was functioning.
Mm-hmm.
And like I tell dudes to this day, I was faking. I was being something that I was not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the persona that I created, so I had to maintain that persona.
Oh.
Because it made me feel like I was powerful.
Wow. So did you have books on lockup, or, I mean, what? How did you pass your time?
I always order books, work out, and I study my kids. And I had to study myself because, like I say, it was a battle. Like, some days I would be up. Some days I would be up and I would be joyful, real energized. Some days I would be down where I just wanted to hurt everybody because the pain. Like, you really got to deal with who you is. There's no running from you. Because at the end of the day, like, I always wonder why dudes yell out the door. And I realized, like, the reason dudes yelled out the door so much because they was afraid of their own thoughts.
Wow.
That's why a lot of dudes are so quick to talk.
I'm so sorry.
But let me go back to your original question. Your question was, did they classify me? Did they label me right when I went up to parole? And as far as me being the statistics.
So they think that you're beyond, they think that you're beyond redemption. So do you don't feel that way?
I don't feel that way because I haven't had a violent ticket in almost 10 years.
Really?
I have completed numerous programs. I educated myself, like, hey, the school that they offered is like, it was nothing. I came up to the GED, they passed it like nothing. I came to prison reading and writing on the third and fourth grade level.
Jeez.
It's nothing left that prison can offer me. Besides bringing younger dudes in that's more messed up than what I was. And being around drugs. That's the only thing prison can offer me. I don't do drugs and I don't talk to a lot of people because I understand the mentality that the people is functioning.
Can I tell you that, you know, I wouldn't trade places, Alvin, with any other person in this world. You understand what I'm saying? What you guys give me, you know what I mean? And, you know, talking to y'all, the letters, the calls, you understand what I'm saying? The mutual respect that we have for each other and stuff. And, you know, this is why I do what I do. This is why I, you understand, have this platform and whatnot, because I want people to look past, you understand what I'm saying, your sentence and stuff like that. And I really feel like that if the judges and the prosecutors, you understand what I'm saying, even the victims, I think that if they ever got an opportunity to just listen, you understand what I'm saying? No preconceived notions, just come in, you understand what I'm saying? And just listen. I think that they would learn a lot about you all and stuff. And I am, you know, me being a mother of a child that was murdered, me being a sister of a woman that was murdered, you know, my sister being murdered, me being the sister whose brother was murdered. I believe in you. And I'm not just saying it because you understand what I'm saying. We're on here. And I'm going to do everything, you understand what I'm saying, within my power, you know, to assist you and coming home and you know what I mean? Not even proving them wrong, but you know what I'm saying? Just doing something different with your family. You know, making sure, you know, that you're, you know, we speak of your nieces and nephews. You understand what I'm saying? Making sure that they know that they don't have to, you know, to carry on this persona. Making sure that their love is not associated with pain. Making sure, you understand what I'm saying, that their father isn't taken out of their life for pockets. You understand, pockets of time, being inside of a prison cell and stuff like that. You know, making sure you build up your nieces. You understand what I'm saying, to expect more and showing your nephew something more. So, you know, I want it to be a, you know, a continuation. I won't lie. I told Saidi, my feelings are hurt because I put myself out here. You understand what I'm saying? And the people that I've built with, you understand what I'm saying? The people that I've written and whatnot, you know, once they come out, you know what I'm saying? It's like, fuck Sarah. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you know, I've been in a real, you know, strange place lately. You understand what I'm saying? And some of them are my Facebook friends, and not one of them, you understand what I'm saying, has messaged me, has called me. You know, how can I assist you? Or you understand what I'm saying? Let me reach back and help. Do you understand what I'm saying? I listened to a conversation of a person. You understand what I'm saying? We're going to put it out here. Well, Saidi, I was talking to Saidi. You understand what I'm saying? And then I was talking to somebody that's almost coming out of prison. And I could tell, I told Saidi, I could tell the difference in the conversation and stuff. Saidi was like excited, eager to speak to the person. And the person was just like, you know, flat, monotone. You understand what I'm saying? Because he knows he's about to touch down. And to me, that shit, that's bullshit. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I want, you know, I want to build with you guys. You understand what I'm saying? You know, that's why I take my time out to do the newsletter, you know, the stuff and whatnot, because I want this to continue. You know, when you guys come out, I want to build an extended family. You understand what I'm saying? Where we'll be there for each other. You know, if you need something, you know what I'm saying? You can call me. If I need something, you understand what I'm saying? That's what I want to do. And that's just not what we're, you know, I had one sister to tell me her friend waited 10 years for her husband. 10 years. You understand what I'm saying? He came out and, you know, within the first 3 weeks, she caught him in bed with his baby mother. You understand what I'm saying? And then he jumped on her and the sister, and now he's back in prison. He was only out for 3 weeks. Do you understand what I'm saying? And it's just like,
Sir. Like me and Saidi, we talk every night.
Mm-hmm.
Like I told him, I say it's a lot of even you lawyers and everything. Saying everything I can do for myself, I mean everything that y'all can do for me, I'm doing for myself already.
Mm-hmm.
And like I told Saidi, the thing that I appreciate about you, you give people a voice that don't have a voice.
Mm-hmm.
And that says a lot. Like, you don't have to do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I feel the way I feel. Like, if I can help you in any way, like I told you, if you just want to talk, I'll call you. I'm cool with that.
Nah, you're a sweetheart. I definitely appreciate, you understand, because I don't know if you guys heard the first interview, but I kind of put Alvin on the spot because I didn't know initially, you know, if I even wanted to help him and stuff. And, you know, Saidi recommended me to you, and but he knows, you understand what I'm saying? Because I think I told you initially that, you know, it didn't really settle in my spirit yet. So when I put you on the spot, you understand what, and that's what I, because like I said, I'm not looking for cute. I'm not, you know, I don't want to have a platform. You know, that's why you guys know I never give you guys the questions. My girlfriend today was like, she thought that I actually wrote the questions down. I said, absolutely not. It's like, I like to freestyle, free flow. I don't know what I'm going to say. I mean, he called me today. We weren't even supposed to do this interview, but, you know, the interviewer in me, you know, I do. You know what I mean? I want them to see you guys, and I don't have a bleeding heart. I just, you know what I mean? I've, like I told Saidi, I just feel like I've been commissioned. I really feel like God sent me, you understand what I'm saying, to you guys. And I feel, you know, I don't feel like I'm doing any more for you guys than what you give to me. You understand what I'm saying? Because I can tell you that since my son's been murdered and stuff, you understand? I mean, it gets lonely. I mean, it really, really, really gets lonely. You guys give me purpose. You understand what I'm saying? And I do. You know, me and God be battling in here sometimes and stuff. And I just every day, if you could see my bed, I've got it's a 150 count already. I put stamps all on these envelopes. You understand what I'm saying? I've got newsletters and stuff here. When somebody tells me, you know, about their loved one and whatnot, I run, you know, the donations and stuff I get, I run right back, and it goes right back into you guys. You understand what I'm saying? I don't profit any, but you can't put a dollar amount to what I do. You understand what I'm saying? I wouldn't trade people's lives. I wouldn't trade their bank, you know, their bank statements. I wouldn't trade any of that. You understand what I'm saying? I love what I do. And yeah, so back to you. So what are you doing? So what do you think happened in these last 10 years that helped you, you know what I'm saying, to not overcome? Because, I, you know, you said it's still, you know, you still battle with that. And I appreciate the honesty. But what do you think happened in your life that made you, you know what I'm saying, try a little? Well, ooh, I know the story. Let them tell them the story, though. I know one of the things.
Besides the promise that I made to my father, I understand my purpose. Wow. And I understand if I'm constantly sitting in prison, who can I help?
Absolutely.
I can't help the next generation. I can't help my family if I'm constantly sitting in prison. And I realize, even though I'm in prison and I've been in prison all of my nieces and nephews' life, I'm still an example for them.
Absolutely.
If I don't set a positive example while I'm in here, they will say, well, when he gets in trouble, why can't I get in trouble? So he can't correct me when I get in trouble.
Wow. Yeah, you're right. Because they do, they can't throw that back in your face. I absolutely know. I know by example of
my
that.
Niece
checked
me.
Did
my
she?
Niece checked me. She's been saying now, she's like, how you going to tell me not to get in trouble? But you get on the phone every day. This one, they had the phone system in place.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, you're right. I say I won't get on the phone if it's not my phone day. And I started getting on the phone. Then we allowed to get on the phone every day again. But I had to be that example that I set for her. If I tell her to go to school, and even though you feel the person is not right, you still let them voice their opinion.
Wow.
That don't make you less than. It just makes you smarter.
Wow. What is your judge's name, Alvin?
His name is... I ain't even lie.
Sorry. It's okay. It's okay, baby. We was about to give a shout out to your judge, but it's okay. Judge, whoever sentenced Alvin... I don't know if you are the, I don't know if you're the original judge, if you're the sitting judge, but, and prosecutors and, you know what I'm saying, administrators, I don't know who's listening to the podcast and whatnot. I hope that you guys would listen. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, just have an open mind and listen, to the, not for views, not for anything for me, because, you know, God gives me all the reward I need. So it's not for popularity of my podcast, excuse me, or anything like that. It's just, you guys just rock. Seriously. You guys rock. And, I'm definitely, you know what I mean? Whenever you're ready, Alvin, you understand, for me to step in, and help, you understand, just know I'm definitely on board, for real. I got you, boo. I definitely have you. Well, I don't want to run out of time, on here. Alvin, I thank you so much, you know, for yet another impromptu, interview and stuff. Is there anything you wanted to leave them with before we get off of here?
Yeah. Regardless of what a person is in college,
speak up, baby. I don't want them to miss it. Speak up. Go ahead.
Regardless of what a person incarcerated for, everybody has the capability to change. But it's up to that individual to make the change that they see fit in their life.
You have 60 seconds remaining.
It takes a person to be tired of their conditions in order to really change. And I'm tired. So with that, I leave y'all be blessed.
Can you tell them what a great advocate you guys got there?
Man, you a blessing.
I was just saying.
That's all I can say. You know?
Aw. Alvin, I love you. I believe in you. And thank you so much for blessing me with this interview. You hear me?
You have 30 seconds remaining.
Well, if I come back from the gym, I'm going to call you, all
right? Okay. All right. Take care, honey. Bye-bye. Aw. You guys see why I love what I do. They're just, I don't know. They're amazing. And I really appreciate, I don't know. I love what I do. All right. Thanks for tuning in. And again, that was Alvin Reeves. Thank you.